What a good service this has been already as we have spent time in praise and lament over God's creation. And on this World Communion Sunday, we also want to center our minds and hearts on Jesus Christ, who holds all of us in the global church, who holds all of creation, who holds all things together. Paul was asked to help the Colossian church to turn away from false teachings, so he wrote a letter to point them back to Jesus Christ, the source of their salvation, and we will be reading a few verses from the first chapter of that letter to the Colossians. Chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. The supremacy of the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last Sunday, we recited the Nicene Creed, a creed which we share with the Church of Christ around the world. And in that creed, we profess that we believe in God the Father, the maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And it continues, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made. Those powerful words in the Nicene Creed express what we believe and arise out of the passage we just read and other scriptures that resound with these same truths about God. God is the maker of the whole creation, and through his Son, Jesus Christ, all things were made. All of the beauty we see around us daily, maples, zinnias, cardinals, squirrels, streams, and clouds, all were made by God. And all the things the human eye cannot see, the far-flung galaxies, the DNA flowing through our brains, our veins, the angels in heaven, all are made by God. And we've spent this month praising God for all of it. And we've reflected on how God has made us caretakers of this glorious creation. We humans, made in the image of God, were mandated to take good care of the earth and all its creatures. A deep joy and a weighty task. And we can do better. And we should do better, not only because we are part of the human family, we are also part of the church around the world, the body of Christ, the Lord of all creation. So passages like this one in Colossians encourage us as we grow in faith and get to know Jesus better. This passage may well have been a hymn in the early church. It has vivid imagery, lovely parallelism in language and structure. If I had more time, I'd love to explore further the poetic beauty of this passage. But I'm going to keep it a little shorter today and focus more on how it points us to the supremacy of Christ, the Son of God, in whom all things hold together. First, it tells us that the Son is the image of the invisible God. Though no one has seen God, Jesus himself said that anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. This means that when we look at Jesus, we can know God, because Jesus is the perfect representation or manifestation of who God is. Christ's supremacy is shown first of all in his relationship with his Father, and all of the glory and kindness and love and authority we see in Jesus is because he is the perfect picture of the God we cannot see. And Christ is the firstborn over all creation. The only begotten Son existed before all things were created. And indeed, all things were created through him, so he is first. Consider that Old Testament tradition in which all the honor and rights of power belong to the one who was born first, though sometimes that order was disrupted, as we've seen in the stories of Jacob and Joseph. When the word firstborn is used here, it does not mean that Jesus was born in ordinary sense until Jesus came to earth and was born of Mary. Yet, though we may not fully comprehend why, Jesus is called the Son of God and the firstborn of all creation. Jesus owns the title of firstborn over all creation to communicate that Jesus preceded all things and is over all things. For in him, all things were created. The Bible starts with those words, in the beginning, God created. And John's gospel begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And now we read, in Jesus, all things were created, visible and invisible, creatures and powers in heaven and on earth. Jesus is creator of all things. He was before all things. All things were created through him and for him, and in Jesus Christ, all things hold together. Even in these days, with our concern over what is happening to our precious planet Earth, even when all creation groans, even now, Christ is Lord. He holds the world in his hands, and all things hold together. And Jesus is the Lord of all creation. Jesus is the Lord of the church. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. The church, the body of Jesus Christ, Jesus is in first place as the head. Jesus has ruled over the whole church from the moment of its inception when the Spirit came at Pentecost, through all the days until this moment and for all the days to come. And Jesus is Lord of the whole church around the world, from Germany to Kenya to Haiti, from Seattle to Detroit to Grand Rapids. Scripture reminds us that there is now neither Jew nor Gentile, for we all have become a new creation, a new body, the one body that is the body of Christ, with Jesus as the supreme head of this body. And it tells us that Jesus is firstborn from the dead. In this case, the meaning of firstborn may make a little more sense if we think of the tomb like a womb. Jesus is the first to burst forth from the grave, the first to be alive again after death. And now there is a whole new order to how life and death work. For death is not the end after all. This also is a great mystery, to be alive again after death. And yet this is the hope that our lives are founded on, that there will be new life, new creation. We already see evidence of new life within us and among us as we see how the Spirit is at work to stir us to love, give us courage to stand for what we believe, build our trust in God's plan for us, and build our faith in Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior. And most of all, because Jesus is firstborn from the dead, raised to life again, we who follow Jesus also look forward to being raised to life again. This gives hope to each one of us, and even more poignantly to those among us who are more keenly aware that life here is nearing its end, and what they will have after this life is not just death, but new life in and with Jesus. For in Jesus Christ all things hold together, and all the fullness of God dwells in him. This parallels that first verse in this passage, the Son as the image of God, the fullness of God, all glory and honor and power and dominion, the whole range of God's divine being, all dwells in Jesus, the Son. Finally, God was pleased to have all things reconciled to himself through Jesus Christ. through his blood, because of Christ's work on the cross, he is making peace. That reconciliation between all creation and God is happening through Jesus Christ. We humans are also made right with God through the cross. And this text says, all things on earth and in heaven, all things hold together. When theologian William Hendrickson, who's Tim's grandfather, wrote about this passage, he referred to a Dutch hymn that I actually know, and I only know a couple Dutch songs. And because it's World Communion Sunday, and because just this summer I worshiped in churches in the Netherlands with my relatives, in Lithuania with Van Zannens, and in Hungary with the Baumans, it made me smile to see this song. Der Eislangs der Wolken en Lieflichen Arm, die Hemel en Erde vereinigte Sam, and I'm not going to keep going. But those lines that I pronounced poorly, I'm sure, say, there rustles through the clouds a dear name that heaven and earth unites together. And Hendrickson pointed to this old Dutch hymn to show how the text asserts that in all things, in heaven and on earth, all things are reconciled together in Christ. He wrote, sin destroyed the harmony between all creatures and God. Through the blood of the cross, however, sin has been conquered. Harmony, accordingly, has been restored, and peace was made. Harmony restored. Christ is reconciling all things. As I pictured that Scottish mission church in Budapest, where people from Ukraine and India and Nigeria and more worship together, and today may have gathered at the Lord's table, maybe you also can imagine places where you have worshiped with Christ, with the body of Christ, who is the head of the church, in whom all things hold together. And in all these places around the world, God is reconciling all things to himself. The reconciliation Jesus has accomplished is first about our salvation. Through the death and resurrection of Christ, we have been restored into right relationship with God. Jesus has made peace for us through his blood. God also reconciles us to each other and makes us members of that one body of Jesus Christ. And God reconciles all creation to himself, all things, hemel and erde, heaven and earth, reconciled. With all we have heard today in the earlier part of the service, the lament, the details of what's happening in the world, it's hard to imagine all creation reconciled because we continue to live in that in-between time, the already and not yet. Jesus Christ did conquer sin and is firstborn from the dead, so new life is already happening within us. Yet, the restored new creation is also still ahead when Christ returns to make all things new. And when we see the mess around us, we may cry, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I doubt that our destruction of the earth will do anything to speed the coming of Christ. It will only make life on earth harder for us and the generations to come. So on our way to new creation, we have work to do. As we experience reconciliation with God through the saving work of Jesus Christ, may we also be moved to those new habits in our relationship with God's world and for the sake of God's people around the world. We are people who bear the image of God, so it is our responsibility and our privilege to join in that work of caring for God's creation and God's people, bringing Christ's shalom to all. And may our feasting together on this World Communion Sunday also nourish us for that work. Dear friends, be encouraged. In Jesus Christ, all things hold together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for the work of reconciliation you have done for us on the cross. continue to work in us daily. Abba, loving Father, teach us how to love you and our neighbors. Giver of all good gifts, help us to honor you by taking better care of these gifts in the world you have created. O Holy Spirit, as we prepare to go to the Lord's table, to partake of bread and juice, gifts from the created world that take on new meaning because of Christ's sacrifice, move among us to unite us to each other and to Christ, and make us ready as we keep watch and pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.